This teaching comes to you from the team at St. Mark's, Darling Point, Sydney. We hope that it blesses you.
Good morning. The first reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, and then verses 31 to 39. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And the second reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning at verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Michelle. I'm one of the assistant ministers here. How about I pray for us as we start? Almighty God, we thank you for your holy word. May it be a lantern to our feet, a light to our paths, and strength to our lives. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You got the first slide up there, please, Gary. That's the question for today. And today, I want to inform you all of a new achievement in my life. It's not quite up there with my university or theological degrees, and it's definitely not up there with Michael or Tim's PhDs, but it's an achievement nonetheless. I am apparently in the top 10% of cafe reviewers on Google Maps. Lucky me, just 3 more reviews and I will be a novice director. My recent trip to Cambodia has helped with this achievement, as every place had their QR code for you to scan and leave them a review. How many stars do you give the food? How many stars for the service? How many for the atmosphere? We rate everything these days, don't we? From books, TV shows, movies, to Uber rides, food delivery, the retail stores, online stores, your doctor, your hairdresser, the bathroom you walked into once on your way through the airport. We live in such a merit-based society. We are asked to review everything, and if it's not up to scratch, it's condemned to be cancelled. And it's easy to carry that mentality over to our Christian lives, isn't it? We hear we are saved by grace, by Jesus dying on the cross for our past sins. But we have this sneaking suspicion that our ongoing salvation is based on how good we are as Christians, that we're reviewed by some higher star rating. If your family and friends were to give you a star review for how they think you rate as Christians, how do you think you would go? Do you live up to their expectations of being a good Christian? What criteria might they use? I'm just going to quickly say that any resemblance to anyone on the staff team is purely coincidental. What criteria might they use? Always goes to church on a Sunday, always does the right thing, never swears or drinks alcohol. And if you're to go by these pictures I found of Christians, carries their Bible and wears a cross. What if you were to give yourself a star rating for your own life? What categories could we use? What if we start with the Ten Commandments and put a star rating next to each one? We can start with a few of the easy ones. Do not murder. Well, I haven't killed anyone yet. 5 stars. Do not steal. Well, I haven't robbed a bank or stolen anything big. I've taken a few pens from work and I didn't exactly pay for my Netflix subscription. So maybe 4 stars for that one. Do not covet. Well, that was a little bit easier before my neighbours had their renovations done and upgraded their car. Maybe just 3 stars on that one. Love God alone, or as Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm not sure that I can claim that one. Let's try a different list. How about the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5? What rating would you get for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? I don't know about you, but I don't think I could get 5 stars on any of these, let alone the whole list. So what does that mean? If these are the marks of a Christian and I can't get 5 stars on any of them, am I really saved? See, if most things in the world are merit-based, it's very easy for us to have that suspicion deep down inside that our salvation is too, isn't it? And this can cause us to worry. We might already worry about not being good enough at our job or being a good enough spouse or a good enough parent or a good enough friend, but none of those really compares to whether we feel we are a good enough Christian, does it? I mean, I mess up all the time, so can I really be sure that I'm saved? In today's world, anything less than 4 or 5 stars is enough to get you cancelled. And even though you may have become a Christian knowing Jesus had completely cleansed you from your past sins, perhaps you have that feeling that you are still not good enough, that surely you should be a better person by now. Perhaps you've done something in particular you think would lead to you being rejected by God. Or perhaps there's an ongoing trait that you just can't seem to overcome. Perhaps. You know, the longer I've been in ministry, the more I've come to discover that everyone has things they feel ashamed or guilty for. Lies, anger, hurt, bad family relationships, adultery, abortions, abuse, bitterness, gossip, theft, lust, greed, desire. If we stop and reflect on those long enough, we can feel that downward spiral of darkness and despair, and we can start to question, how can I be sure I'm really saved? We can try to be good. We can try to make up for the things of the past. We can try to live by all the rules and live differently now, but it just doesn't work, does it? We are just unable to give ourselves a 5-star rating for our lives. And so we question, how can I be sure that I am saved? And the Apostle Paul wrote about his own struggles with this in Romans 7, verse 19. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. And verse 21, so I find this law at work. Although I do want to do good, evil is right there with me. Even the Apostle Paul felt this way. But then we open Romans 8, verse 1, and we find the most comforting words our desperate hearts could hear. As Paul concludes, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." No condemnation. If you are in Christ Jesus, you can no longer be condemned for all those wrong things you still do. Why? Verse 2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. We have been set free from a star rating on our lives based on the law of sin and death. That is, based on our own ability to be good Christians and always do the right thing. If that was the basis for salvation, we would all die. But instead, the law of the Spirit, that's the law of grace, says you are saved, you have eternal life because of Jesus. See verses 3 and 4. They tell us, "For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." When I first started doing reviews and giving star ratings, I struggled to give 5 stars. Because nothing in this world is ever perfect. But we know that Jesus was perfect. Even when he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, he never sinned and would have achieved a 5-star rating for everything he said and everything he did. He achieved what none of us humans could. But by fulfilling the star rating system and achieving 5 stars in every category, Jesus was able to abolish that system for those who trust in him. God sent his own Son, not only to wipe out the star rating system based on the law, but to replace it with one single cross. By dying on that cross, Jesus took the condemnation we deserved for our sins, past, present, and future, and ensured that those of us who are in him now face no condemnation. He was condemned, so we won't have to be. But this status of no condemnation isn't for everyone. It's for those who are in Christ, rather than those who are in the flesh. Now, that's just another way of saying in the world or not Christian. We are set free when we are in Christ. So how do I know if I'm in Christ? Is it a feeling? Is it if I'm good at prayer and quiet times with God? Is it if I never have any doubts or never go through any difficulties? No, it's none of these things. Please excuse this rough analogy. But being in Christ is a bit like being on a plane. Can you tell I've been travelling recently? With a plane, you get on board and the plane takes you away from where you are and onto your destination. When I was flying back from Cambodia last Saturday, we had the most turbulent flight I have ever been on. I felt sick most of the way. We bounced around in the air and it was pretty horrible. I had a few doubts that that plane was going to stay in the sky, but I arrived at my destination. It had nothing to do with whether my faith in the plane was strong enough. I didn't have to flap my arms to get the plane there. I didn't have to be relaxed and happy. I didn't have to do anything because I was inside the plane. The plane got me to my destination, not me. My ongoing salvation does not depend on me, my feelings, or my behaviour. My salvation depends on Christ and what he achieved on the cross for me. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? Yes, then you are in Christ and you are saved. Now, if that hasn't convinced you, Romans 8 has some more assurances for us on how we can know we are saved. Let's continue on at verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. If anyone tries to condemn us, another person, our own conscience, or even Satan, then the one who saved us intercedes for us. If you can imagine you're in the dock of a courtroom as the accused with God as the judge, Jesus, God's precious Son, is your defender, saying, "It has already been paid for. There is no debt outstanding. I died to save this person." When the Father looks at you, what he sees is his precious Son, who has made you clean and cleared you of all debts. I think this idea is beautifully captured in the lines from the hymn "Before the Throne of God Above" that says, "When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me." To look on him and pardon me. Do you feel that sense of relief and that new sense of assurance? I know I do. Instead of beating myself up whenever I do something wrong or say something silly, or I worry that someone else might accuse me of not truly being a Christian because of something I have said or done, I try to remind myself it is finished. Sure, confess your sin. Sure, ask for forgiveness from God on the person you have sinned against. But we don't need to go on feeling guilty for it. It is finished. Jesus has paid for it already, and your place in heaven is no less secure than it was before you did the wrong thing. But wait, there's more. In the last few verses of Romans 8, Paul gives a wonderful crescendo to the whole message about how we can be sure that we are saved. From verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" From verse 38, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither things present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Sometimes we struggle to understand just how great God's love is for us, especially when we live in a world that tells us that that love is a feeling, that we need to feel all warm and fuzzy in order to feel loved. But God's love is just so, if you will pardon the expression, it's just so out of this world. Our Heavenly Father loves us so much that he sent his only Son, who had been with him since the beginning of time, who was already worthy of all glory and honour and praise. He sent him as an ordinary human being to live with ordinary human beings and be persecuted, beaten, mocked, scorned, and hung on an old wooden cross to die all alone, so that he could make us clean and bring us into a relationship with him. There is no greater expression of love or commitment to another than that. He sacrificed everything to show his love for us. Our God is not some remote, distant, or emotionally stunted wooden idol. He's not a Zen being with no compassion or heart. Our God's love for his Son and his love for us is deeper, wider, and higher than any other. It spans time and space and modes. So when the scripture says nothing can separate us from God's love, they mean nothing. Do you really think God would send his only Son to die for you and then reject you from salvation because you struggled through a hard time, or had doubts in a period of persecution, or once you again committed a sin that you have been battling and failing to overcome? No, if you are in Christ, remember the plane, nothing can separate you from the love of God. So then what's the implication of this assurance that we are saved? Well, it gives us great freedom. Not freedom to go on deliberately sinning, but freedom to live for God in the best way we know how. Freedom to love our non-Christian family and friends without fear that they will somehow contaminate us. Freedom to give money to missions or charities or church or other causes because we no longer fear missing out on the good life here. Remember, the plane is taking us to an even better destination. Freedom to spend time with God because we want to know more of the one who loves us so much, not out of fear that we will miss the 5-star rating on our Bible reading or church attendance. When we are sure of our salvation, we are free to live for and love the one who made us free and promises we will live eternally with him. Let's thank him for that freedom now. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Christ we have assurance that we will not be condemned now or ever again. We thank you that if anyone tries to condemn us, Jesus intercedes for us and you declare us not guilty. Thank you that nothing can separate us from your amazing, deep, wide, high and transcendent love. And thank you most of all that this assurance sets us free to live for you and with you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Please visit our website at www.stmarksdp.org to subscribe to our new episodes, browse more resources, and find more information about the community of St. Mark's.